So we did something crazy these last few weeks, guys. We actually had a series. We've hung out on one slide, the Corinthians. This is what we've been doing. This is Paul writing to a church in Corinth, and he said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And you can see I changed the translation of that slightly so that it could be really clear today. 2 weeks ago, we spoke as a child. The things we say have power and they come from your heart. Watch what you say. Speak life. I thought like a child. We touched on that last week. Was pretty much peace, right? That God is a God of peace and peace in your relationship. Is this the fourth week? It might be the fourth week. Maybe, I don't know.
Third?
Okay. So here we are. I didn't do it on purpose. Every week I go to God and I ask him what he wants to say. And this is sort of what I felt he wanted to talk about today, I guess. And so we're going to hang out on this again. But yesterday I was at all weekend I've been at a wedding. My buddy got married. When you're 35, 36, you know, like, you think that's kind of over. Most of your pals are all married. I mean, yeah, you get the second marriage round, but most people don't do the big weddings on that point. That's the age I'm at right now. I didn't want to do it, but I want to be a good friend. But it ate up my whole weekend, you know what I'm saying? But one thing, the reason I'm even telling you about this is because I don't know if you're one of the very few people in this room who grew up in a together home that knew about God. I don't know if you're from a Christian family. If you are, you need to understand something, research, or take my word for it and understand that's a small percentage of this region. The majority of people, like I was in the midst of them yesterday, as we often are in our jobs, right? I was in the midst of them. And I was talking to these dudes, and they're all my age. It was five groomsmen, so that's when we all hung out. I didn't know any of them. And I was telling Denise about this. We're sitting there at a cathedral church, and these individuals were having zero luck, success, connecting what was going on with them. Like, it's beautiful, and the building is amazing. I'm not ripping on anybody, you understand that, right? I'm just telling you my experience. The stuff, they did an actual service. I almost said no when he told me they were doing Catholic because it was going to take forever. What? I'm just telling you the truth. And so he was doing the service, but I watched as these dudes, 35-year-old husbands and dads, sitting there connecting nothing with what was going on up there. And dear God, don't ever let that happen in this place, because this is, I don't think God is impressed. We've talked about this before, about blind form and ritual. I think our good father does what we do as dads, and he wants to raise us. I don't care if you come to him at 60 years old, you got some childlike tendencies, y'all, and God wants us to grow up into him. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so for 3 weeks he's been doing this. Well, let's keep going. Let's do this thing. I want to grow up in God. I do. I want to grow up to the husband and father he wants me to be, the friend. Number one, first thing I want to talk about as a child, one of the mindsets we can fall into if we're not careful is this. Children only think about right now. Now is their focus. If you want to translate that into adults speak, if we're thinking like children, sometimes the season we're in is all we see and all we can focus on. And for some reason we forget that God has ordained our lives in seasons. And pages will always turn. Pages will always turn. In your marriage, that's important. At your job, that's important. It won't be like this for long, is the way a country singer said. Everything continues to move forward. Do you understand that? Children, right? Alex will be where he is right now is his whole focus. No, me want to do that. This is going to be terrible. No, me want to do that. Like, but like he wants on to the next thing, right? But no, that doesn't sound like fun and all that. Buddy, it's coming. Like, he was getting his hair cut. I'll just be honest with you. I'm always honest with you up here. I was more disappointed in him during this haircut than I've been his whole life. Because normally he's such a good boy. But it was just a train wreck. It was a train wreck getting this stinking haircut. It's the same lady that always cuts his hair. And it was a less arduous process because she gave him kind of a big boy cut. A little more bowl cut than I like, but I guess it's his fault, not hers. No, we want to do that. He says to her, I couldn't believe, I wanted to spank him. I go, look up here, buddy. She goes, look at my nose, buddy. He goes, no.
What you just say? So I'm not gonna lie to you, I'll tell you the truth. I pinched him a little bit under that thing. What you say? And you try to give him crazy eyes so nobody else can see it. Like, what you say? Then she looks over and I smile. I was so disappointed, but he was stuck in a moment. No, me want to do that. And so I'm like, bro, she's just got your bangs left. I talked to him like an adult, you know. I say, she's just got your bangs left. Do what we tell you, then you can have a sucker, okay? Do what we tell you, then you can have a sucker, right? No. He couldn't see past the moment, right? Sometimes in our lives I hear that. Boy, I hate this job. I can't stand it. You're not going to be in that job forever. If you believe God's promises that he's got a future, a plan for you, and he'll open the correct doors for you. But we sit there and we focus on now. And that's a real problem, guys. One of the greatest gifts we have as adults in Christ is perspective. To understand that to everything there is a season. And don't take my word for it. Let's do this. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. God has ordained our lives in seasons. He sees the beginning, he sees the end all at the same time. And he has ordained seasons to get us where we need to be. And sometimes you think, why in the world am I here? Why has it been this long? I can't comment on that. All I can tell you is this. God has ordained it in a season. He's in charge of the changing of seasons. Let's break it down for a second. You ever notice how when Jesus taught, he taught right at the ground floor. He taught farming to farmers. And he always used agriculture. He used agriculture a lot. Yeah, I don't want to get into that, but okay, all right. My brain is spinning here. You can be stuck in a winter season and go, nothing good is happening right now. I'm so tired of this. It's cold. It's dry. I can't wait for the sunshine and all that. But what happens in nature during winter? It's a very important season, you guys. It's an important season where there's things happening underneath that snow. These plants are storing up their energy. They're resting. They're getting ready to burst forth with the colors that we see and love, right? Winter is a time when we can, you know, I mean, it's just, it's important. Every season in your life has its purpose and plan. Let's do the next one. Actually, I'll prove it to you. God has made everything beautiful in its time. He's also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. That's awesome. But let's look at the first one. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Even that season of your life that you look back on or are in right now and you're like, this is so hard, God has put beauty in it. Everything is beautiful in its due time. God, that speaks of God's timing in our lives. But it really speaks of this perspective, ready? Some of us are so busy trying to steer ourselves out of these seasons, and God is saying, get your hands off the wheel. I ordain the seasons. Yeah, relax, slow down. Boy, isn't it always about control with us? Every day we wake up, and who's going to control the day? You or God? Your flesh or your spirit? That's what it comes down to, guys. That's what it comes down to. I'll tell you this. If we saw our lives in seasons like God did, we'd be more joyful. We'd absolutely be more joyful. All right, so I remember in 2003, I'm walking around a town called Haywards Heath in England. Small little town, nice train station or whatever. But I'm walking around by myself on another continent. I was there playing music and touring and all this sort of stuff. But do you know what I was doing? This is what I was doing. I was sort of railing at God. I was going, Father, when am I gonna get to the next step in this career? I barely have enough money. What am I gonna this? What am I gonna do that? Now, there's this kid, this 24-year-old kid, who has the opportunity of a lifetime walking around England, making all these new friends, playing 3-4 gigs a week, surviving doing what I love. But do you think I looked at that at all? Nope, I was just going, turn the page, God, turn the page, God. And guess what? After I left there, I've told you all this before, but all I've got to teach it is from my life, right? When I came back to America the third time, I never went back to England again. I'm never going to see those friends again. I'm never going to have that season of my life back. And I squandered it by worrying that the season wouldn't change. Do we understand that? Now, had I known, let's say, magic time machine, boom, hey, 24-year-old AJ. It's me, 36-year-old AJ. You still look handsome. I know, we don't have time for that. Listen, buddy, everything's gonna be all right. You just enjoy this time. My life would have absolutely changed. Joy would have been pouring out my ears. But you know why? You know, we don't need 36-year-old AJ to go back in time. We have God's promises. That's the thing. No matter what, guys. No, I don't want to give away secrets here, but no matter what, no matter what comes against you today, tomorrow, how long you're in this season, you're safe in the arms of the good, good Father. You really are. So guess what? Relax and enjoy it and let Him ordain the seasons. Your job? Enjoy it. Cooperate with Him with what He's doing, but soak it all in, you guys. It's so true. Do good fathers want their children to enjoy themselves? Yeah, they probably do. I mean, be good, don't get me wrong. Don't whack your sister with the toy. But I want them to be happy. That's not, I mean, listen. They got to grow into the people that they got to become. That's very important, absolutely. But along the lines, I wish for them joy. Our good, good Father says you are destined to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. But do it joyfully. Enjoy your time in playing in the sand here on earth. And the one day we got to do this, oh yes, I got a good one. Okay, sorry, I wrote this a little while ago, so I forgot, like Tuesday. Someone does a better illustration than me. Ready? I want to read you something from Lauren Turner. This is so my life right now. We'd spent a few hours at the beach during our spring break trip to San Diego. When the weather turned, we decided to pack it up and head out. I juggled sandy beach toys and wet towels in my arms and attempted to convince my 2.5-year-old that it was a good idea to leave the endless playground that is the beach, while my husband followed behind with the folding chairs and our crying 4-month-old. As we trudged through the sand, I noticed an older man look at us and heard him comment sweetly to his wife. Those were the days, weren't they? I stopped, not physically because that would have sent plastic toys flying and my toddler running, but inwardly, she says. When we got back to the car, my voice cracked a little bit as I told my husband what I heard. There weren't actual tears, though it wouldn't have been a huge surprise if it was, but these are the days. We're in them. We're living them right now. She goes on to say, in the weeks since, I made a conscious effort to replay those words at that scene on the beach in my mind. We're sticky with sunscreen, hair tangled from the wind, hands full of stuff, dragging babies through the sand. But instead of seeing chaos, that man saw us as a beautiful memory of his young family. We were the highlight reel. The potty training accidents, the endless snack requests and subsequent spills, the fighting, blah, blah, blah. These may not be the highlights of each day, but somewhere along with that first baby smile, that hilarious comment only a toddler is capable of making, and out of nowhere hugs that make you want to freeze time, they all combine to make one amazing lifetime of experiences. Crazy, huh? That is so my life right now, man. Matter of fact, I was complaining. Okay, yeah. We packed up and went to the beach. My niece, the two kids, and my best friend Pete came with his with Gabby, and she's eight. She's eight. He's Mr. Freewheeling Dad. She gets herself out of the car, right? He's like, hey guys, if you guys are early enough to see us coming in, I'm being choked by this and the computer bag and I'm carrying the baby. That's the season we're in right now. And I don't like it very much. Pete just gets out of his car. Hey, y'all. I'm like, his arms are empty. His daughter walks herself. I'm like, oh my gosh. I was just complaining about that. But you know what? I need to get this in my spirit hard that this is just a season. It's just a season. Perspective. I got to understand that this season will end. So my job is to, yes, be effective and do everything I can to let God guide me. But I gotta pull that joy out of it, because we're never gonna get it back again. So what? I want you to we're gonna move forward, but some people are in a season that they don't necessarily look at with great joy, a tough season. Number one, it's gonna change. God has ordained everything in seasons. The season will turn. The season will change. Number two, He's in charge of that. Number three, your job is to relax, cooperate with Him, and have joy. We good? Okay, here's a good one. When we talk about thinking as a child, this is one that can save you a lot of heartache and headache, but you'll work on the rest of your life. A child thinks that other people's opinions are not as valuable as their own, or wrong. And that's childish thinking, right? Like my toddler will argue with me about who the best superhero is. And if you say, like, no, what about Batman? No. You're wrong, because I said it's Superman. Ready? What's that look like when we're old? Tom Brady is the best quarterback in the league. No, you're wrong. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is. Rah, 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 rah. Giants, Redskins, whatever it may be, right? That's not how you vacuum a carpet, Mark. That's not how you do the dishes, y'all.
A child says their way is best. An adult says, maybe I actually don't know everything, or if I don't see everything the same way the other person does. But a child doesn't really want to hear that. I got you on the how we do things around the house, didn't I? I included a whole group of people when I went there with it. My way of doing things is best, says the child. The adult says, maybe not. I'm not even going and saying, no, you're wrong. I'm not. I'm just saying, maybe not. Now, here's the thing. Breaking or harming relationships because of someone else's opinion, that's thinking like a child. You ready for even more, Bruce? I'm not coming at you. I just saw you. Okay. You'll go, hmm. Because what I'm about to say is heavy, and I don't want him. Ooh, that was at me. How about this, guys? That's difficult, especially during election years, isn't it? Harming relationships because of someone else's opinion. I've seen people on Facebook say, if you're voting for so-and-so, feel free to unfriend me. So what I do is, even though I don't know who I'm voting for yet, I unfriend them anyway. And say, if you're going to break a relationship with me because of my opinion, ain't nobody got time for that. I'm going to bring that saying back. No, I mean, really. I'll break a Facebook friendship. I won't cut them out of my life in real life. But I don't want to see what you're spewing if you're going to break a relationship because you have a different opinion. Right? Come on, man. I'll back this up because I don't think I have a lot of scripture for this. But I want you to realize that aside from when people were harming other folks, Pharisees, Sadducees, even Jesus didn't break relationship with the people who were wrong. I'll give you this one. I'll quote you. The Samaritans say, hey, you Jews worship in Jerusalem, we worship on a mountain. Who's right? And Jesus says, a time will come, blah, blah, blah. But did he not? So in other words, she had a way of approaching even God that was way different than what the Jews were doing. But did Jesus have relationship with her still? Yes. Because let's go back to last week. Is it okay for us to break peace? When is it okay for us to destroy peace in our relationships and cut people out of our lives? Right. God is kind of leave your gift at the altar and go be reconciled, right? So even a child will think that if you don't agree with me, I don't like you as much anymore. I don't love you. I don't want you around as much anymore. And we got to watch for that because that's childish thinking. That's not growing up in Christ. And like I said, during an election year, that can be very difficult. You can look at someone and go, I cannot conjure up why in the world you think the way you think. I can't get there, you know, with who you're voting for or whatever. But my advice for you is to stop right there. I can't get there. I'm going to put that down. Because your next thought is, you're stupid, you're uneducated, you're really, okay? It gets into labeling and judging. Stop right there. I do not understand how anybody would vote for that person. Stop. That's it. Stop the train. Understand? I don't think God is going to be like, yeah, cut that person off. They don't think like you do. I don't think God's going to, right? Seriously, guys. And likewise, even if they're dead wrong, how are they ever going to come to the truth if all the people who have the truth cut them off? That was good. Wow. I had this idea that like, oh, you're stupid. And everybody moves away. And like, who's going to help me out of stupid now? Nobody. Are you getting me? I know I'm firing from the hip today, guys. I'm sorry. I'm tired. How about if, what if there was a modern day Bible? Okay. Would it read something like this? Would God say, if thy friend on Facebook voteth for Trump, thy haveth my permission to dismisseth them and cease loving them. Is that something you'd read in there? It's going on all over my Facebook, and I'll tell you something, that's a bunch of children. It's a bunch of children. You're wrong. You might be wrong, but can we break relationship over being wrong? I may not be 100% right all the time. There you go. Moving forward, leads me to my next point. We don't have much left, guys. Believing even a little that we are the focus or more important than the people around us is a child. And this is a big one that we naturally do. Sometimes we get this idea that we're the main character of the story and all these other people are bit players, right? Anybody ever watch The Truman Show? That was a good movie, right, Val? Come on, AJ. Jim Carrey, but in a serious role. Sometimes, guys, if you're not careful, you'll start to believe that. I'm the main character. Oh, Gordon appeared in the third act when I saw him at church. And then, no, I'm not the main character of this story. Number one, God's the main character, and everybody else around me matters. Can we hit this slide? Matters as much as I do. Philippians 2, 3 and 4, do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Number one, would that not fix the planet if we did this? I was listening to something where a bunch of city planners, it was in Chicago. Chicago's a mess, apparently. And for the last 10 years, they've been looking at all these programs and how can we this and how can we that. And they came to the conclusion, like, programs don't work. We want to get food to the elderly. We want to get parental guidance for these kids that don't have parents. But programs only get you so far. What would fix all this? Neighboring. If people would just neighbor their neighbor, we would be fine. Oh yeah, Betty Sue's over here. She doesn't have any food, so I'm gonna swing by after work. And hey, Johnny gets off work a little different. Can you make sure she got breakfast? Boom. Don't need a program. The neighboring did it. Neighboring. Hey, so and so's father passed away. Why don't we make sure we include him when we take our boys to the park? Right? One by one, everything could change. Neighborhood. If we just were neighbors, and go figure, Jesus taught us that. Be a neighbor. Who's a neighbor? Well, here's the parable of the Good Samaritan. If we all were that way, everybody would have enough food, would be protected. If we would just do this, it would change absolutely everything. But let's start at the second, or the first part up here. The idea that we are more important. Okay. I'm going to take this in a different direction than you think I will. I struggle with this a lot. And here's what I mean. As a husband and a dad, I have these desires. I know the dad I want to be, and I know the husband I want to be, but there's this, like, something inside of me that always asks throughout the day, what about me? What about me? Seriously. And this is a real thing for me. This is, I pretty much stopped the message after this because it hit me really, really hard. I want to be the parent who's on the floor playing with my kid and not on my phone all day. But then this, what about me? What's in it? You know, what's there for me? What's there for me? Rears its head. Does anybody understand that? Can we relate to it at all? I want them to have my attention. But sometimes I'm bored off my mind and think, what about me, right? Or I'm looking at this week and I'm going, you know, I really wanted to fish this summer. What about me? Oh, but I could take the kids here and that'd be a good day for them. And oh, grandparents wants to come and doctor's appointment and she wants to go to school and she wants to get her hair done. Even as I'm saying that, I'm angry. What about me? I mean, I bought the fishing license for $25. I don't want to give New York $25 for one time. You know, what about me? But I got to understand that the AJ of the house, I have to look at them as more important. And can I tell you something? This is only for the Christ follower, because otherwise it is impossible to do. I don't want to be the dad that parents out of, like, this is what I'm doing, and the kids are peripheral. I've seen that. Like, kids are just kind of around, and here's what we're doing because this is what I want to do. I don't want to be that guy, but there's that, what about me? Joyce Meyer does the what about me robot. You ever seen it? What about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? It's so true, and I don't have this down. When I was asked to be in that wedding, I did not want to be in the wedding because there was nothing in it for me. Seriously. And I knew he'd forgive me, but all right, fine. I'll give a weekend to support this guy, and, you know, because I got to look at it as... other people have to be more important than me. Their opinions, their desires, their needs. And it's hard, guys, even to my own kids, whom I love more than anybody in this room. How am I going to love you guys when I can't even do it all the time for them? You know what I mean? Daddy, you want to go swing? I don't want to push on the swing, so no. I'm just being dead honest with you. I mean, 3 out of 4 times I'll go down as long as it's not in the full sun, because that's just crazy talk. But I don't want to. Why, Daddy? Because I don't want to. I want to sit on the porch and want to chill. What about me? And I think life is about balance, but I don't have that figured out just yet, because I still feel guilty for the one time I say no. I feel guilty every single time, and that's unhealthy too, let's be honest. These expectations upon me. But it's because that voice inside of me is so powerful some days. So powerful, guys. This is what I want to do. What about my time? And all I'll give you today for advice, because as you can see, I am not a master in this area. I think the main step as we want to grow into the adults in Christ, I think the main step in this one is recognizing it in ourselves. You know what I'm trying to say? There are days when I'll, first hour and a half, if they, okay, I'll tell you my, sometimes we wake up when Melanie goes to work, we wake up, and if the two of them watch like a Sesame Street, I like that because it's got numbers and letters. I have a little less guilt than watching that than like Transformers. But sometimes if they're being good, I'll let them watch another episode so I can check my Facebook. Do you know what I'm trying to say? And it just happens over and over again. But here's the thing that has helped me. Ready? That starts to happen. I look at the clock and realize we've just burned an hour of uselessness. And I go, oh, okay. And I have to tell myself, and I know this sounds super spiritual, I'm just telling you how I survive. I literally have to say to them, like, to myself, this is what you're doing today. You are watching and being with the kids. This is what you're doing. This is where you are. Not you're living your life and they happen to be there. This is what you're doing. They're more important than you. And then I pray and say, Lord Jesus, help me. That's the only thing that's helped me so far, is just stopping and recognizing when it's snowballing out of control into selfishness, put the kibosh on it, talk to God about it, and then I sometimes get the day back. Other than that, I don't have much advice for you. If you recognize the what about me inside of you and you want to change it and you want to grow up into the adult in Christ, just talk to God about it. Because this is something I think everybody fights their whole lives. That's why Mother Teresa was so amazing. She seemed to have no sense of possession of self, right? Never a what about me. What a beautiful example. And of course, Jesus is our greatest example of what about me. He knew what was going down when he was walking toward the cross, but he counted other people, right, as more valuable than himself. Finally, the childish thinking, in our opinion, okay, childish thinking we want to talk about is this. And this is real quick. And to some degree, I think everybody's got this. It's childish thinking that our opinions can change or influence reality. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to believe it, blah, 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 blah. Creation is what creation is. And our opinions, you got to watch yourself, our opinions about it will not change creation in that way. And what I mean by this, the one thought I want to talk about is this. I got this idea because Alex one day was learning about sunup and sundown. And we're like, everybody, you know, blah, blah. He calls daytime happy time. It's night, night time and happy time. He always has. He doesn't say daytime. But he's like, sun no come up tomorrow, happy time. Sun, see, wait, you think the sun's not going to come up tomorrow? And I said to him, it'll still rise even if it's behind the clouds. He goes, no. And I was like, bro, you have no authority on whether the sun goes up or down, right? You ready, though? Let's translate that. You have no authority to talk about what you feel should happen after we die. Who gets to go, anything like that? Your opinion will not change the fact that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. It has no bearing. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm sorry. I said I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. The free grace offered us through Christ Jesus. Now, you can study heaven, hell, death, Sheol, Gehenna, the lake of fire. I have, ad nauseum. I want to put this very simply, so you can put it simply to the people around you. We are eternal beings inside of us. There is a dwelling with God eternally and a dwelling without Him eternally. You don't even need to look into it more than that. You don't. Not, especially not as a believer. You don't need to even look. I can be with my Father or I will be away from my Father. And it's interesting because it's a continuation of what we do here. If I don't know Christ now, I'm not going to know Him when I get up there. What do you think, I'm just going to recognize Him? Let's use common sense here. And the thing is, guys, we do. We let this creep in. Well, I don't think that it doesn't matter what you think. I was the Rock just then. It doesn't matter. It does not matter what you think. It doesn't matter what we think. And here's the thing. There's a dwelling with the Father eternally through Christ Jesus or dwelling without Him. That's it. That's all you need to worry about. And people choose this over Jesus Christ every day. Do we understand that? And how you feel about that fact, it doesn't matter. You can't change these things. This is the way the world was created by Creator God. And it's beautiful that we got in line as children and we get adopted to our good, good Father. But this is not a democracy, people. This is a kingdom.
And there's one way to the Father. Let's do it. I got a whole slew of them for you. I want to get this out of you in even 1%. 1 Timothy, for there is one God and one mediator who stands between God and men. That is the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. Stand in between. There's no getting between without mediator, the man Christ Jesus. And he had to come as a man. Next one, please. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no one comes to the Father except through me. Pontius Pilate says to him, what is truth? And Jesus could have said, you're looking at him. This is a society that says there's no absolute truth. It's what they're teaching your kids in high school, in college. Well, I mean, really, right? Imagine the kids' surprise when biology teaches us there's two genders. But now there's more than you could probably write on your hand. What is truth? And they go, well, truth is what you know. Truth is Jesus Christ. He just said it. I am the truth. I'm the truth. I am the embodiment of truth. Next one. Remember that next time you hear something about your opinion being able to change creation. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Look at it that way. Look at it that way. And again, your opinion doesn't matter. I don't care what you think about Allah and Muhammad and the four acts of blah, blah, the Buddhism and all that. This is telling us that if you deny the Son, you will not have the Father. And you don't have to like it, right? Next one. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar. Let that settle in for a second. And I'm not coming in hot at you guys. I'm just telling you our opinions don't. You know what I'm saying? There was a time when I didn't like this. Anyone who does not believe God, that Jesus says who he says he is, has made him out to be a liar. You're calling him a liar because he's not believed what God has said about himself, the testimony God has given about his Son. So ready? I'll pick on Brian. Brian, I am creator God. And the rift between us that took place, here's the account of it. But I have actually sent my Son to be brutally murdered for you. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. And you can be with me again through what Christ did. No, you're calling him a liar. It's true. Well, Chris, you put up that thing, C.S. Lewis. Jesus is either a liar or a lunatic or the Son of God. And that traveled through the... It was you, right? Because you didn't even nod. Liar, lunatic, Son of God. Really, he was either God, knew it, blah, blah, blah. Liar, lunatic, or Son of God. And you got to just make your choice. But just, you know, understand, this is no light thing. And how we feel about that does not change the truth, guys. That was my point about it. That's kids. Son don't come up tomorrow. Buddy, you got no authority, man. You live inside something that's already created. You have no say. I think we got one more. I believe. Wait. I didn't finish this one. And this is the testimony that he's talking about believing. God has given us eternal life inside of you now. It's not something you get later. You have it now. And this life is in his Son, Jesus. He who has the Son has life already. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And by the way, eternal life does not start when you die. Eternal life is in you right now. The deposit is there, man. You will live eternally with the Father. Next one. Salvation is found in no one else. Again, not Confucius, not Buddha, not Allah, not I'm a good person, not Moses, right? Not Paul, not Barnabas, not Apollos, right, Bruce? For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And it must be saved. Saved or not. Do it or don't. But our opinions don't change things. There is absolute truth in this world, and it's Jesus Christ. Do not stay in a place of childishness, thinking as a child, thinking you have the authority to say that. Okay? That's a hard thought, especially when you couple it with what Brenda was saying. There are people in my family, okay, gloves are off. There are people in my family who to this day continue to call God a liar. And there's nothing I can do about that besides pray for them, and there is a reality here. Do we understand that? You don't want to know why that's important to understand? Because your butt just might go do something about it. That's why it's important to understand that. But if you think there's 1%, well, I mean, I know he's saying no to Jesus, but maybe then you won't get off the couch and go talk to him. Come on, you with me on that one? That's why it's important to know this. That's why it's important to know this. That was me yesterday. And this is not a good job AJ thing, okay? But that was me yesterday. I didn't want to witness to this guy because people think you're a weirdo. Even if you're a pastor, I have a bit of a license.
to witness to people more than you guys do. But I'm sitting there and we're eating at the thing, and he's like, he wanted to know about my life story. He's like, so at 17, you, what made you go from being in rock and roll to religion? And I'm like, oh, not religion. But anyway, and he's like, no, but what was the Jesus thing? And I said, buddy, and I told him, I said, I chose to believe that Jesus is who he says he was, and that salvation's found only through him, and it changed who I am, man. It will change everything. And it did this for me, and that for me, and this for me, and that for me. And then I just continued with my life story. But do you think I didn't want to leave that out? Of course I did. We're at a wedding, having a good time, you know, the music's playing and all that. But I believe in my heart that if I don't tell him that and give him the option, look, in other words, he needs Jesus. And not even 99%, 100%. It's childish thinking to let that go by and go, well, maybe he gets in on a technical. No, it doesn't happen. And I want you someday to Google, just Google, say, salvation only in Christ scriptures or only Jesus scriptures. I gave you, what, 6? I could have given you about 35. As clear as this, that say, no, 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 no. The world will lie to you and your childish mind just might believe it, but it is all about Jesus Christ. He is the King of all kings, the Lord of all creation, whether you like it or not. And there will be a day when you have to look him eye to eye. Now for us, that's going to be a great day. You know what I'm saying? We got the promise already. For some people, it's going to be the worst thing. I don't have words for how bad that's going to be. He's the King of Kings. So we are going to actually sing. You suggested it. Didn't you say nothing but the blood? We're going to sing that. I think we might be done with the thought as a child thing, guys. But I have enjoyed this series. I have enjoyed the on-the-floor teaching.
Your blood, it speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me and stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. Your blood, it speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me and stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. And what can wash away our sins? And what can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Can wash us pure as snow, welcomed as the friends of God. Nothing but your blood, nothing but your blood, King Jesus. And your cross, it testifies in grace, tells of the Father's heart to make a way for us. Now boldly we approach, not earthly confidence. It's only by your blood. And what can wash away our sins? And what can us whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can wash us pure as snow, welcomed as the friends of God? Nothing but your blood, nothing but your blood, King Jesus, King Jesus. Jesus.
You are the King, Lord Jesus, and we thank you so much for all that you've done in our lives to draw us to you, to even share that truth with us through someone or a circumstance or situation. We thank you. We thank you for all that you've done to adopt us into your family, Lord God. And we ask, Father, that as you've adopted us, we ask that you'd continue to help us, as we know you will, but you continue to help us to grow into the men and women that you'd have us to be. And we know that includes putting away childish things, Father, but we need your help to do that, Holy Spirit. We need your help to come up higher. We cannot do this thing without you, Father. This week, Lord God, we give you permission. We give you permission to highlight those times when the what about me robot starts dancing around inside of us and we start snowballing into that selfishness, Father. We give you permission, Holy Spirit, to highlight that to us. And we ask that you give us the strength to make a different choice, to submit to you and turn things around, Lord. We want to obey your word. We want to consider others to be more important than ourselves and their opinions to matter and to put ourselves aside for others, Lord, as you did, Lord Jesus. So we thank you, Father. You know the needs we have. But we just worship you, and you're so worthy of all our praise for all that you've done and all that you are. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, everybody. Have a great week.